This is The Coacharium, where coaches go to grow. Coacharium, like a terrarium for coaches. It's the pocket-sized podcast for leaders who coach to gain skills and confidence. Welcome to The Coacharium.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Coacharium. If you haven't listened before, we're Wendy, Dana, and Gary, and this is the smallest podcast spread over the longest distance. Over 5,000 miles from here in Boise, Idaho, via Dallas to London, England. And in each Coacharium episode, we discuss topics related to developing your leadership style and coaching approach. So Gary, what are we talking about today?
So I've been in conversation with quite a few coaching clients recently who are talking about feeling a sense of overwhelm, who are talking about feeling a sense of being on a hamster wheel in work and in life in total. And as part of our Building Your Self-Awareness series of episodes, I wanted to share a particular assessment, a simple assessment that I send to people. It's freely available, and send people to help them understand a little bit more about where they are in terms of the stress that they're experiencing in life, the stress that they've been experiencing in life, and to give them a bit more awareness as to when have you got that much stress that you need to actively do something about getting it sorted out. And so this is an assessment or a little test. It's called the Holmes-Rahe Life Stress Inventory. And you can Google it. So Holmes, like Sherlock Holmes, Rahe is R-A-H-E, Life Stress Inventory. It's called a social readjustment rating scale. And it's actually used in the medical profession. I first came across it 20 odd years ago when I was training at medical school in psychiatry and in general practice. And it's commonly used to help people understand their kind of underlying stress level. And what it does is there are 43 different stresses that are listed in order of the impact on your overall stress level. So at the top of the list, you've got things like death of a spouse, going through divorce, going through marital separation, death of a close family member, being fired at work, things like that you would think, okay, those are really stressful things. So death of a spouse scores 100 points, divorce scores 73 points, being fired at work scores 47 points. And then as you go down lower on the list, you've got things that are still sort of additive to your stress level, but less stressful than some of those big things that I just listed out. So, for example, moving house, 20 points. Changing your child to a new school, 20 points. Taking on a new loan, 17 points. Going on holiday, 13 points. Minor violations of the law, like getting a parking ticket, something like that, 11 points. Troubles with the boss, 23. And so what you do is you go through and you tick off and you say, in the last year, which of these have happened to you? And then you add up the points. So you might say, okay, I've had three things up at the top of the list, and then I've had actually five or six things down at the bottom of the list are going on in the last year. And then when you add up your points, you get a total. And if your total is under 150 points, then it means that you've had a relatively low amount of life change and a low susceptibility to a stress-induced health breakdown. If you're scoring between 150 to 300 in aggregate, then you have about a 50% chance of a major health breakdown in the next 2 years if you don't change your stress level. And if you're scoring 300 points and above, then your odds are over 80% of having a major health breakdown in the next 2 years. Each time, and I've probably shared this with, I don't know, half a dozen coaching clients, something like that, over the course of the last year or two, each time I kind of get the same feedback, which is, I was aware I was under a lot of stress. I could name many of the things that were stressful in my life. But actually, what this has helped me to understand is that there's a kind of a long tail of other things that are also stressful, and it adds up to a much bigger score than I thought it would. And now I understand that if I don't change something, I'm actually putting myself at risk of a health breakdown. And so it really helps people to say, to go from, I'm feeling stressed, I'm feeling overwhelmed, I don't know what to do about it, to, I need to do something about this. And then they start to take action. So that's where I think it can be really helpful for people. It raises your awareness of, one, there are lots of things in life that are stressful, not just the obvious things. Two, they all add up. And in aggregate, over the course of the last year, you might tick 6 things, 10 things, 15 things. And three, if you don't change, it's going to have an impact on you that you don't want. So think about how you can practically change your life, how you can practically change your balance to reduce your overall stress level. So that's the scale. That's how I use it. For the two of you, how do you respond to that, hearing about this type of assessment? And where do you think it might be useful for you or people that you work with?
Go ahead, Wendy.
Yeah, I think that awareness is always important. And this, you know, series that we're talking about is that kind of self-awareness deep dive. And what I've noticed just even in my own life and people that I love, people that I, you know, work with, is often if you don't put language around what's happening, it feels bigger and worse than it is. And so sometimes doing an assessment like this and recognizing, okay, I am having a lot of stress right now, I am experiencing this, gives you the opportunity to talk about it and have language to talk about it and then say, okay, so what's next? So what do I do about this? As opposed to this like big bad thing that's in your head that, you know, feels impossible. I don't know. Does that make sense?
It really does.
Absolutely. And I find interesting looking at this list, and I can look at times in my life that I have been, way over the number and probably in a not thriving situation. And I think to your point, Wendy, when, you know, being able to put words to it, but I also find it fascinating, that you've got like major holidays, vacation as things that could be stressors. When you think some of us really are planning that vacation to kind of relax and decompress. But I think what's happened in our culture is there's a lot of stress around leaving work undone. And then I'm going to have to make it up and I'm going to have to work longer when I get back. And I'm curious about that, Gary, what you're seeing in this area of holidays and vacation and why. I mean, it's at the bottom of the list, but it's interesting that it's on there.
I think that one of the underpinning principles here is that change is stressful, change of any type. So one of the lists in here is outstanding personal achievement, actually scores 28 points. So that's higher than troubles with the boss, only scores 23. Mm-hmm. It's higher than moving house, only scores 20. Because it's a change in your perceptions, maybe a change in how other people perceive you, maybe a change in your relationship with people. And it takes time, it takes effort to figure that out and navigate it. So I think that's one of the really helpful things here, to realize that it can be stressful. Positive things can cause you aggregate stress. It's when you add them all up on top of other things and you say, well, actually in the last year, I did have, you know, my grandmother or one of my parents might have died, and also we moved house, and also my children finished school, and also I changed, you know, role. That's a lot. Just those four things mm-hmm. already are a lot. And it's, again, I really like what Wendy said, sort of naming it, finding words to be able to talk about it, mm-hmm. I think is really helpful. When I work with people, you know, my coaching clients with this, they don't bring it to the conversation. I just say, take this home, go through it, circle things, and then we can talk about it. We don't have to talk about it. We could talk about the number at the bottom, but I don't need to know whether you're having sexual difficulties, for example, is one of the items on the list. It's helpful for you to think through, okay, you know, let's be open about genuinely all the things that I'm dealing with at the moment. And what I like about it is that it's just for you. You don't need to share it with somebody else. You don't need somebody else to interpret for you. You can just get to the bottom and go, okay, I've got quite a high level of stress here. If one or two other things happen, then I'd be in quite a high risk zone. What am I going to do? And it is that shift into action that people start to think, okay, I need to take some time out. I need to clear my head. I need to, you know, get a weekend where I genuinely switch off my phone. I need to talk to my partner about what's going on. Great. You know, and you will, my view is you will come to sensible judgments when you face into it and you name it. And that's really what Wendy's saying. I think that's super helpful. It wasn't designed specifically to work in a sort of leadership and management context. It was designed in a mental health and mental resilience context. Mm-hmm. It works really well in today's world of leadership and management, where it is absolutely a mental health issue. The level of stress and strain people are under and have been under post-pandemic and all of that. And therefore, that's why I bring it into my practice.
Yeah, that really makes a lot of sense to me and resonates. And I think will make a lot of sense to people listening. How, Gary, might they find this assessment?
So I will make sure that we put a link to a version of it in the show notes of the podcast. But also you can just Google Holmes-Rahe Life Stress Inventory. So again, Holmes like Sherlock Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S, and then Rahe, R-A-H-E. And it's just a one-page list. It's a very simple thing to do and go through it. Circle the ones that relate to you in the last year, add up the numbers, and then at the bottom it describes what to do with the output.
Great. Any other closing thoughts?
No, I think it's interesting, and I think it helps put a number. It's kind of like when we do the well-being assessment and you go through the five areas of well-being. It's almost that would be the next thing I'd have them do as if I were coaching them, is look at the areas that are the weakest in that. And I think one thing that came to my mind, because I was looking at this list going, okay, life is okay right now, today, but I have several friends that I'm going through the valley with them on. And so I had a pastor once say, you're either going through the valley or you're going through someone with the valley, in the valley. And I think that's the thing, is to analyze where you are on the hill, on the mountain, and what do you need to do about it? And do you need to have somebody help you along, be that guide as you're going through that? That came to my mind as I was looking at all this. So thank you, Gary, for bringing that.
Yeah. And I like what you said about the well-being, because I think the natural next question for a lot of people, they take this, they find out, oh, I have a lot more, I rank a lot higher on this than maybe I thought I would. So, you know, where do I go next with that? And I think that looking at your areas of well-being is one possible way, like you said, Dana, that you can, you know, next say, hey, how can I help me deal with this stress that I have? You know, what are some ways that I can grow in that area? So anything to add there, Gary?
I would just say, I think that it's something that right now, lots of people are going to get benefit from looking at this. And then as you say, where do you go next? Talk to your partner, talk to your family, if you've got a coach, talk to your coach. If you've got a mentor at work, talk to your mentor. If you have a therapist, talk to your therapist. But if you feel like, yeah, I am in that kind of pretty overwhelmed space for things in work and things out of work, I would say have a go, see what it shows.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Gary, for bringing this to us today. And just quickly before we finish, most listeners don't yet follow the podcast. Every additional follower we get helps us raise the profile of the podcast and bring you more episodes. So find us on LinkedIn and join the community. And if you can do one thing for us today, then please hit that follow button and get updated whenever we put new content live. But if you can do a second thing, could you share this podcast with a friend? Thanks for listening and tune in next time. Bye, Gary. Bye, Dana.
Bye.
Bye, Wendy. Bye, Dana.
This has been another episode of The Coacharium. Follow, like, and subscribe to our content to receive updates on future episodes. Join us again soon in The Coacharium.